This is case 74001, Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department versus 8th Judicial District Court et al. Mr. Crosby, on behalf of the petitioner, and if you wish to reserve time, please so state.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal, if I may. May it please the Court, Nick Crosby with the law firm of Markey Arbaugh Coffing on behalf of Real Party Interest, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. What is facing this Court today is the issue between a defendant's right to Brady material or exculpatory or impeachment evidence and my client's right to deem documents that are deliberative and pre-decisional as privileged documents pursuant to the deliberative process or executive privilege recognized by this Court in DR Partners in 2000, first recognized by the United States Supreme Court in U.S. v. Nixon. First, Your Honors, as outlined in the Department's petition, the Department has a legally recognized privilege in its cert report.
Why should we entertain this? Your Honor, at the beginning.
Pardon?
Why should we entertain it?
I think it presents a very important point for this Court to outline, as it most recently did in Bradley, is this juxtaposition between a criminal defendant's constitutional right and the Department's right, an obligation, probably more importantly, an obligation to police itself and ensure that its policies adhere to trending standards within law enforcement. And right
so
now,
you're talking about something that's constitutional for a defendant and procedural or administratively for Metro.
Actually, I think they're both part and parcel, Your Honor. While I recognize that in the case of Brady and its progeny, certainly there is a recognized right to exculpatory impeachment evidence, but as derived from the Supreme Court in interpreting the constitutional amendments, namely the Fifth and the Sixth Amendment, the deliberative process privilege also recognized by the Supreme Court, while not in the Constitution or any of its amendments, it was derived from the Supreme Court, and as this Court in itself has found a right that it does exist. So the Department, for the record, is not stating that there is no importance or significance to one's right to exculpatory impeachment evidence. What the Department is advancing here is that it's a legally recognized privilege to this document, which is not part of a criminal investigation, nor does it contain exculpatory or impeachment evidence. It is, in its essence, its most purest form, it fits squarely within the recognized requirements to meet as a document that is protected under DR Partners. Namely, this is a pre-decisional document.
Mr. Crosby, did the district court get into the analysis of whether or not it was privileged?
No, it did not, Your Honor. In fact, specifically, within the record, I believe the sealed court order, which starts at Appendix page 329, the court specifically withheld its ruling and didn't rule on the issue of privilege. It's page 342, Your Honor, starting at line 20 through line 22, the court states, so again, this is not waiving the privilege, and Ms. Bible, who was Assistant General Counsel for the Department, argued at the time, said okay, and the court said, I am not ruling on the privilege. The court specifically did not rule on that privilege, and this is in the alternative remedy request for the Department advanced in the petition, was that if the court is not inclined to vacate the decision, reverse the decision, that it vacate the decision. The court did not provide this court with any ruling to analyze.
Mr. Crosby, I'm sorry. I want to try to understand what was given. So you have the cert report, which has the thought processes, impressions about policies. Appended to that, you have different interviews with witnesses and different other things, some of which has already been provided, like the interview with the officer. That was provided. Now, that's a cert document, but that's provided. What? In fact, it says cert interview at the top. That's who's doing it. So when Judge Bayless?
Correct, Your Honor.
Reviewed it and said, okay, I find some Brady. Like, I've identified things. Since we're just reading it, and it's hard for me to parse out. Was he talking about pieces of the cert report itself? Was he talking about an appended document to the cert, like part of the cert investigation? Like, it's not clear to me what he's looking at, and I think I need to understand that before I can make this analysis.
Certainly, Your Honor, and I will state that what Judge Bayless was specifically referring to was a notation within the actual cert report It was the conclusions and recommendations based upon the cert team with respect to a specific policy that was in place, which again brings us back to why this document is privileged, because this was a pre-decisional document that was designed to allow the sheriff to review information to make determinations on policy changes or modifications or analyses. It was not for the criminal investigation. And I think it's worth noting at page 330 of the appendix of volume three, lines 17 to 23, the court never actually ruled that this was Brady material. In fact, the court's specific statement was, in the report, the only thing that even remotely appears to be potentially exculpatory deals with a statement in the report that Officer Taylor did not attempt to de-escalate the situation by attempting any verbal communications between Mr. Frostick and him. And Officer Taylor did not make any attempt to bring his supervisor or another officer to try to help de-escalate the situation. So I think what we first have is the court never actually identified Brady material. And I think if the court were to read the sealed hearing, which I'm sure it did, starting on page 329, you'll see that the court was erring on the side of caution, which I think is appropriate in most cases. But we're put with this juxtaposition between a department's privilege to analyze its policies to make sure that we are doing, or my client is doing, everything it needs to do and should do, but more importantly, how it can do things better. Pitched against a defendant's position that what is contained in this report is exculpatory, but when you look at what has been provided to the defendant, the victim's statement, source documentation that the CERT team gathers, that has been provided to the defendant. So any exculpatory evidence which may be derived from a CERT team, which isn't in this case, would have already been provided to the defendant in the most purest form, that being the source document. What we're trying to protect is the document that contains our opinions and recommendations for policy changes. And when you find Sheriff Lombardo authored an affidavit earlier in this case in the lower court explaining how he uses these reports to craft policies and to modify policies, and that's what we're dealing with. This is not unlike the Bowman Dairy case, which addresses a Rule 17C in the federal courts for seeking pretrial discovery via a Rule 17C motion. You can't simply cast out a net on a launch on a fishing expedition. And while this case, again, is not a 17C issue, nor is it a federal court issue, but it's implicit to look at that type of holding that the courts recognize that there is no right to discovery under Brady. Brady and Weatherford have held that.
Mr. Crosby, there's a line of cases, and it's kind of in a developmental stage, but it deals with the tricky area of what is control of the state. And quite often in the writings of the Supreme Court, they link the prosecuting attorney and law enforcement as the state. They don't make a distinction.
Without a doubt, Your Honor, I well recognize the cases and the lineage of cases that would otherwise be.
And so I guess the question within the question for me is whether or not the position of the Metropolitan Police Department in this particular case was an all or nothing, we're not giving it up because we feel it's privileged, or whether or not they were willing to give it up if it was redacted, at least for an in-camera review, by the district court.
And I think the position on that, Your Honor, twofold to address your first inquiry or your first comment with respect to the police department and law enforcement agencies in general being grouped as the part of the state. I think that is accurate for most purposes, but when you're dealing with, in this particular case, the CERT report, since it's not a law enforcement report or process, it is a purely administrative process. It's no different.
But it was made because of this incident.
But not the criminal aspect of the incident. It was made
because of the event
that occurred in the jail. Of course, Your Honor. It obviously something, there was a genesis to this, which would be the battery, the alleged battery on the law enforcement officer. But
Mr. Crosby, I'm sorry, before we leave that, unless I don't want to mess you up.
No,
I'm still answering Justice Douglas. So I appreciate the difference of the CERT report. Let's say the CERT finding, however, identifies that a particular officer has violated policies and should be subject to discipline, or that they, you know, in some fashion. Does CERT then forward their own recommendations about internal discipline to IA,
or is
that separate?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. And if you look at in Volume 2 of the appendix, page 248 in our policy, it specifically states that CERT will not initiate a statement of complaint, which is our formal documentation, which initiates disciplinary procedures or at least disciplinary investigations for alleged misconduct. That's at page 248 of the record, and that would be our procedure for... procedure 5/109.04, which starts on the record at 247 and continues over to 248. It says, throughout this process, CERT will not initiate a statement of complaint or recommendation or recommend discipline. Violations not directly related to the use of force will be identified to the board but will not be investigated by CERT.
Well, CERT's not going to do the investigation, but they identify if they feel that there's been a violation.
Well, CERT will identify, yes, to answer your question, but it does not initiate disciplinary procedures. The best way to announce it, to characterize the CERT process is a 360-degree view of everything, from buttons down to policies. It looks at everything to see what the officers did right, wrong, what they could have done better, what the department could have done better, where the policies were good, where the policies needed to be fixed, where the policies need to be modified to adjust to either this incident, maybe it's a new incident, or some sort of trend across the country. But CERT does not initiate any disciplinary procedures. And in this case, Officer Taylor was not disciplined for anything. And moreover, this is what is challenging with respect, because of the all-encompassing viewpoint that CERT is required to take and takes for purposes of bettering the department, an officer could have a policy violation, for example, for a uniform violation. Let's say the officer is wearing a winter uniform when a general order came out that everyone's wearing a summer uniform. That is something that CERT would note, that Officer Smith was wearing a winter uniform, and on June 2nd, a general order was issued that officers are to wear summer uniforms. That is how encompassing CERT is, because what the department is trying to do is ensure that it is providing the best services to the communities to the citizens of this community, and in keeping pace with the current trends in law enforcement. And to do that, the sheriff needs to have a team of individuals who can speak frankly and candidly in providing their recommendations for how policies need to be fixed, what policies were good, and how policies should be changed as a result of these investigations.
Mr. Crosby, if I could interrupt, I'd like to return to where Justice Cherry started, because I'm not quite sure you answered the point he raised, which is, in the absence of any determination by the district court on whether this was covered by privilege, should this court remand, grant the writ in part, and direct the district court to make that assessment? Or is this court, given the fact that this record is now in front of us, in a position to make this determination? I'm concerned a bit about the supplemental pleadings that you filed. Not that that necessarily has a precedential value on us, but it does raise a question. Should the district court make this determination in the first instance before we review it here as to whether or not this is covered by executive privilege or a deliberative privilege?
I think, Your Honor, consistent with our pleadings before this court and the petition, our first request is for this court to reverse that decision and make the decision itself. Alternatively, however, if it feels that it's more appropriate,
so I'm trying to get from you, should we? And if
yes,
you feel that this court has in front of it all the information necessary, the report, the transcripts, and so forth. What I'm concerned about is, in making this determination in part, we're not in a position, I don't think, to assess whether the content of the report provides any exculpatory information in this criminal case. That's my concern.
And I respect that, and to that, I think that's legitimate.
To that extent, the district court's in a better position to understand and apply the content of the report to this individual's criminal case.
And I think, Your Honor, if the court had that opportunity, the court took an in-camera view but did not specifically find any exculpatory evidence and punted on the criminal.
Which is my point. Should this be reviewed in the first instance by the district court so that it can explain its reasons if it considers there to be some waiver or exception or whatever in the report that isn't covered? The court might say, well, yes, it's covered by privilege, but I find a waiver, or yes, it's covered by privilege, but there's exculpatory evidence and offer some constitutional basis for portions of it to be required to be disclosed. I guess my concern is, if this court engages in that process here, is that really the best approach? Under Applebaum, we would say we're not going to give advisory opinions. I'm a little bit concerned about, in the abstract, offering an opinion from the court that says, yes, this report is covered by the privilege, period, end of story.
I think that's a valid concern from the court, and I don't think it's something that was lost on us in our petition since we did request that as an alternate remedy. But I think, given the facts and the record presented to this court, by way of petitioners and then by omission, so to speak, with respect to addressing the DR Partners case by defendant, I think this court is equipped in this case to determine that this document at issue in this case right now is squarely within the DR Partners exception to the, for the deliberative process or executive privilege.
Also, I just got a tip for you. District court judges don't punt. They don't play football with cases. They make findings and they make rulings. So I don't think that was a necessary analogy to what Judge Bayless did.
And I apologize for that.
Okay, accepted.
I didn't mean anything on behalf with respect to the district court.
With that, are there any other questions before counsel sits down? I'm going to give you 2 minutes for rebuttal because you've basically used up your time. Nothing else?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Einhorn? I'm sorry. Hi. No.
May it please the court, Amanda Gregory appearing on behalf of Real Party of Interest, David Frostek. I think that a big issue here is that what Metro and the state are trying to do is convolute this criminal investigation into a cert investigation. They were so intertwined in this situation that now to separate the two and to say anything that came out of cert is privilege is taking away the criminal defendant's right to the exculpatory evidence. What I believe, I've been involved in the case since the beginning, and what I believe Judge Bayless was saying was that he didn't touch the issue of privilege. They are correct in that, but he didn't touch it because he read into Nevada statute and said that nothing in that privilege overcomes a criminal defendant's right to exculpatory evidence. He reviewed the report. I haven't reviewed it. I don't even believe the district attorney has reviewed it. He reviewed the report, and he made a finding that the report was exculpatory. For them to say that that report is now privileged, there was a statement made by Officer Taylor. The only place a statement was ever made or taken by him was in the cert review process. We did not obtain that statement until the first day of the beginning of trial on this. They didn't want to give us that statement. Judge Scotty reviewed the statement. Judge Scotty said, this is definitely exculpatory. They're entitled to it. We got the statement. Then from that statement led to realizing that there was this cert report. That cert report is a report made by the department based on the investigation done in a criminal case. The only real evidence and discovery on this case was under the guise of that cert team. When I first got on the case, I received 11 pages of discovery. Things started coming out once we started realizing about this cert investigation. I just don't think at this point we can now separate them and say, sorry, it's cert, it's privileged. Metro brought up their exhibits on page 247 and 248 regarding the critical incident review team, and they went into what it's for. It's my opinion that CERC should not even necessarily have been investigating this case, and that Metro is able to use these review teams as a way to keep back information from criminal defendants and from the public in incidents involving officers.
Ms. Gregory, I'm sorry, but I'm a bit confused about what you're asking this court to do. Are you asking this court to deny the writ because under the writ as, or under the order as she currently exists, your client would be entitled, according to the district court, to two areas discussed in the closed hearing? That's it. That's all you're getting if we deny the writ.
We want the.
But you're going on and on about the whole report should be released. I'm trying to understand, what does the defendant want in this case?
Whatever is contained in that report that is exculpatory or Brady material to the defendant, we believe we're entitled to.
But the judge has said all you get to see is the two areas that he mentioned in the closed hearing. So you know what those are.
I know.
Is that the end of the deal?
I don't believe so, because...
So if that's the case, this to the question that I, that Justice Jerry posed to Mr. Crosby, I followed up with, and I ask you, should this court remand the case back to Judge Bayless and ask him to assess the extent of the privilege, and once he's done that, articulate with specificity why there should be a release of only two areas? Because I'm not sure what the legal basis was for this portion of the decision so far. If it is as broad as you suggest, that a defendant's right to exculpatory evidence, this privilege doesn't even apply, then why not get the entire report? I don't know, the judge might agree with you on that, but so far he hasn't. He said you get two things, that's it. And you're arguing, it sounds like you want the whole report. You're not here on a cross writ, so why shouldn't this court send her back, tell us whether there is or isn't a privilege, whether it has or has not been waived, whether there is or isn't exculpatory evidence, and what's the legal basis for giving you exculpatory evidence in an otherwise privileged report? Wouldn't we be in a better position to review that?
Well, and my position on that is obviously at a disadvantage, one of being the person here who's never seen the report. All I could go off of is what Judge Bayless read and said was
exculpatory. And in fairness, I can understand you'd want to say, hey, I want to see the whole report. But that's why I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, here the order says you only get two things. So if it seemed to me that you would be supportive of the idea that, hey, I want to see the whole report and I want the whole thing evaluated, so why wouldn't you agree that we should send her back to the judge for that assessment?
And, Your Honor, that probably would be an appropriate remedy, to send it back to Judge Bayless to more clarify his decision as to why he only released those two items when nobody else has seen it, to determine whether or not it's exculpatory. Like I said, we know the statement that report was based on was incredibly exculpatory.
I mean, it's a little bit of an awkward situation. Mr. Crosby, I assume, has seen the report. I don't know, but he's up here arguing his case as though he knows what's in it, what she says, and uniforms and badges and whatever else. But you haven't, so I think that's where the district court should vet this.
Are you sure you want to concede the issue that you just conceded and not ask that this writ be denied?
No, Your Honor.
Because you just said that, and you'll see it in an order that you conceded that. So I'm giving you an opportunity to redact what you just said and say that it should be denied and give us the reason it should be denied.
Your Honor, I'm definitely not conceding to that issue. I do believe that we should be entitled to the entire report. I don't believe that any of it should have fallen under any privilege. At a minimum, we should be entitled to what Judge Bayless ordered that we should have. And I do believe that this court is in a position to make that decision here today.
Why wouldn't it be subject to redaction? Like, why are you entitled to internal thought processes of management about perhaps a policy failure, a way to develop policy, as opposed to any factual things that are contained in that, which may or may not constitute relevant information or Brady? Why are you entitled to those internal thought processes that management needs to do to try to improve their use of force policy, try to improve their policies?
I think essentially there's two reasons for that. Number one is that in this situation, when it is so intertwined in a criminal case, it is hard to parse the two out. And to say, why would we be entitled to their decisions, policies, procedures, and not the facts, who's to say what part of that report or factual analysis of what happened and what is actually the deliberative process or the pre-decisional issues in that report? Who's to say that? Metro's the only one that's seen it. The second issue is one of the exhibits that the state referred to in their bait stamp 247, where they list out the role of the critical incident review team. There are 8 different incidents that CERT is intended to review. I don't believe that this incident even falls under one of those 8 things. If this court allows them to slap privilege on these kind of things, they can essentially have any criminal investigation involving an officer done primarily under some sort of review team that comes up with privileged documents, and we don't get it. And in this case, the Sorry. In this case, the only statement even made was done under this separate little pocket that we're not entitled to. I just think that by letting them do this, when it's so intertwined with the criminal investigation, it's just absolutely against our defendant's constitutional rights to get the relevant evidence, the exculpatory evidence in the case.
And you know, if it's denied, if this writ is denied, you get the two things that Justice Bayless has ordered. That gives you at least a lead into maybe reopening this issue in front of the judge.
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Thank you.
So what I did want to get into a little bit further, what I was going through, the eight incidents that I don't even believe that this review team should have been under, just to get into why this would be a much bigger picture. Metro was essentially a victim to this incident. They had a correction officer that was the victim. Metro did the investigation on this incident. The CERT team did an investigation. Then it goes over to the district attorney's office, who is also part of the state. They have this authority now to parse out where and how they do their investigations and say, privilege stamp, privilege stamp, privilege stamp, you guys don't get it. I think Judge Bayless, Judge Scotty first saw it when we weren't given that report because it was CERT. And then Judge Bayless saw, I mean, the statement, I apologize. And then Judge Bayless saw it when we weren't given that report.
But can't we distinguish between the items that are gathered during the investigation, the CERT investigation, and the CERT report itself, which has the thoughts and impressions? Can't we distinguish between those items? I mean,
I haven't seen it, and that's part of the issue, is I just don't know.
I mean, it could be anybody's report. Like, I've looked at all these things, and if you get all those things, you may come to different conclusions about the relevance or what was appropriate than Metro did. But why is that? Why are those thoughts and impressions not necessarily relevant, but discoverable? Can you envision a scenario where Metro could have privileged deliberative process in this report, even if you get the subject, the interview, the other factual things that were developed?
Absolutely. For instance, if it wasn't the subject of a criminal case, if there was no charges against my client on this, then we wouldn't be here. They would say they're privileged, and then it wouldn't be an issue because we don't have our defendant now who has his rights that I believe trump their claim to privilege right now.
Well, on those two issues, the judge agreed with you. These two issues trump their claim, not necessarily privilege, but of provision to you. Okay, sorry.
And, Your Honors, maybe the solution is to provide redacted portions of these reports. I don't know what the answer is. I believe, though, that when it's going to be so intertwined with the criminal case and all of their conclusions are going to be accessed in this report, that they are going to be discoverable to the criminal defendant. I also wanted to address where Metro had said that we didn't address their DR partner's case. We believe that Judge Bayless, we were going off of what Judge Bayless said, and Judge Bayless did say that it was exculpatory, so he didn't touch the privilege issue. However, even if you look at the DR partner's case, to qualify for non-disclosure, it needs to be pre-decisional and deliberative. Again, I haven't seen it, I don't know what's in it, but I find it hard to believe that in this instant, that Metro is actually going to be able to show that that statement was pre-decisional and deliberative. I do find it hard to believe that that's what's going to happen here. When it's factual...
The decision is about policy. I mean, the CERT process is about determining policy, whether there's been policy failures or developing policies. So which decision are we talking about when we say that it's even pre-decisional?
They claim that it's about policy. But if that is truly the case, then the question that begs to be answered is, why was such a majority of any investigation in this case done under that process? There was hardly any discovery in the actual criminal case. Most of the information that would have been helpful to us was in that process. And I believe that Metro is trying to confuse and combine the two to keep documents away from a criminal defendant that they don't want us to have. Officer Taylor's statement was very hurtful to the department. It was very hurtful to him as an officer.
And you have it.
And we have it. They didn't even want to give us that. We got it, but they didn't want to give us that. Their findings come directly from their review of that statement, their review of the videos. We had requested videos in this case that had been deleted. However, when you read Officer Taylor's statement, it was obvious that the officers interviewing him as well as him had seen video. They looked at this entire situation, more so than the district attorney court could have, more so than we could have, and they made their report. And we know at a minimum that they said that he potentially did two things wrong. For us to win on our case with self-defense, we're going to have to show that the officer used excessive force. We're aware of that. And if after the parties that actually did the true investigation in this case, which is CERT, if they have opinions and beliefs that that officer did not act accordingly or used excessive force, that goes directly to my client's case. It goes directly to being able to attack the credibility of Officer Taylor, and it goes directly to our client's argument that this was self-defense. So in closing, Your Honors, I just want to reiterate that this CERT process in this particular instance, it was so intertwined with the criminal case that to now say that they're allowed to have these reports, have these interviews, have the things that encompasses in CERT not be turned over to a criminal defendant when statutorily, constitutionally, we are entitled to it, I think that's a great deprivation of my client's constitutional rights under Brady and under the Constitution.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Crosby.
Mr. Crosby, while you're coming up, before this, go ahead, keep going. I'm trying to sneak one in before your time started. If just hypothetically, if in fact there's a determination, okay, the CERT report is privileged, and there's a determination that, let's say you even agree with, that there is Brady inside that report, does tie go to the runner? What happens? Who wins? The privileged document or the exculpatory material?
Wow. You know, candidly, Your Honor, I think I have to say in that hypothetical, I think that the exculpatory, if it was truly found to be exculpatory, Brady material or Giglio or Kyle's material, would have to be disclosed, to be quite candid with you, Your Honor. But I think as we look at this case...
It's a hypo. I appreciate that.
But if I feed off that, Your Honor, if I may...
Counsel, well, maybe it's not a hypo. The judge said that. The judge in his order said there are two areas where there's Brady material. And so the judge has said that. So why shouldn't we accept that as a concession? Require that information to be disclosed based upon your comment just a moment ago, Mr. Crosby.
Because I don't think the...
I don't see in your petition any issue where you're challenging the judge's determination that this is Brady material.
Well, Your Honor, in reading, I don't think the court's...
The court's order says, identified, I reviewed it in camera, and identified Brady material within the CERT report related to two areas as discussed in the closed hearing. Stop. And then he goes on to say the court determined that all other matters within the CERT report not identified as Brady material shall be redacted. So, with respect to his first determination, he said it's Brady. I don't see your petition challenging that point.
That is correct.
And your statement to Justice Stiglitz would seem to be a concession that those two areas identified in the closed hearing should be produced. Right?
I agree, Your Honor. That is not in my petition. And I concede that, Your Honor, with respect to Justice Stiglitz's comment, though I don't...
So then the issue that's the subject of your petition is the remaining portions of the report that Judge Bayless said should be redacted? I mean,
well,
it's a bit confusing to me because he said they don't get it. And you're up here saying, wait a minute, I'm not clear what you want us to do.
Well,
the remaining portions of the report, he said you don't get it, defense. And yet you've petitioned that. What's going on here? This is a bit confusing.
The petition, Your Honor, was to address the court's decision of the privilege issue and whether or not it trumps the Brady argument. and then alternatively, if you vacate it, to have the judge reach the issue or provide an analysis with respect to the process, mm-hmm. or the deliberative process.
Okay.
But I did want, if I may, just briefly.
Give us very brief closing.
If I may just note for the record, there's no evidence that the department utilizes the CERT team as a means of circumventing criminal investigations to usurp the obligation to otherwise disclose criminal investigation of material that would be discoverable within the criminal context. There's no evidence of that. It's appears to be counsel's position or interpretation of that, but there is no evidence before this court of that. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you.
This matter will stand submitted.